Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob? Too deadly. All right, Queensland finalists unveiled for the Telstra Best of Business Awards. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Kelly Pryor, founder, owner, director of CAKE, and finalist for the Telstra Best of Business Awards. And we have the Deadly Sister online. A very good morning, Kelly. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Kelly.
I'm from Brisbane.
First Nation?
No, I'm not a First Nation.
Okay, thank you. We claim you, my sister, but you are the owner, founder, director of CAKE. So tell us who CAKE is and what does CAKE do? And it sounds like a sweet title, pardon the pun.
Oh, thank you. The idea from the name came from having your cake and eating it too.
Okay.
In having a career and having a family and being able to work around your family rather than having to have a family around your work.
Okay.
And
what's the service you provide? What does CAKE, what professional service do you provide?
Yeah, so we support small, medium businesses with business strategy, business development, marketing, sales and HR. But how we do that is we leverage the skills of stay-at-home parents who want to work flexibly.
Yeah, good.
And remotely.
And here we are, the 21st century, and thanks to COVID-19, a lot of people were operating businesses and doing their work from the JOB from home, and now it's virtually opened up a new industry as such, as people operating from home. So this will fit right in with CAKE, would it not?
Yeah, absolutely. So I came up with CAKE pre-COVID, and at the time, the ability to work flexibly around a family, my options were professional dog walker and children's party planner.
Yes.
And then COVID happened, and it was a really big catalyst for change globally, as we know. But then it was also a really great gift for CAKE because people then started to support the idea of working flexibly and remotely a little bit more.
Well, the old saying is finding the wants and needs for the people, fulfill that want and need, and you've got a business. So that's what you've created, and there was a space for that. Like I said, congratulations, finalists for the Telstra Best of Business Awards.
Thank you.
So you must be doing something good there because the fact that you are in the finalists. How did it go about regarding the application? Were you nominated yourself, or did someone nominate you, or did you nominate yourself? Tell us the journey there, please, Kelly.
Yeah, we nominated ourselves. We thought we're going to throw our hat in the ring. We recognise that the work that the team is doing is really phenomenal at CAKE, and we have the ability to support a lot of families and a lot of businesses, because a lot of small businesses are actually owned and run by everyday families as well.
Yes.
And so we thought we'd throw our hat in the ring. It was a very rigorous judging process, multiple rounds, multiple submissions. It's September now. It actually opened in January earlier this year, so it's been a long time coming, and it's just fantastic to be recognised as a state finalist for the Telstra Best of Business Awards.
Yeah, fantastic. And the winners of the Telstra Best of Business Awards will be announced on Thursday, 26 September, so haven't got too long to wait, so congratulations there. And
fingers crossed,
exactly. And but the fact that you're at the table and you become a finalist, it just shows that you've got a deadly business there. And look, it's providing a professional service. And when you talk about whatever business you're talking about, I strongly believe that marketing is it. You know, don't care what business you got. So, I mean, the old saying, if McDonald's stop telling us that it's Mac time, then we'll start to think the burger's a bit of Hungry Jack's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're exactly right there.
Don't care what product you got, you know. So people out there who are starting a business are focused on the foundation of the business and doing the providing the service or the product, so to speak. But you still have to do the business side of things. You still have to do the marketing side of things, and that's where Kate comes in, yep?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a famous quote that says, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it.
Yeah.
And that's what marketing is. Mm. It's really good storytelling. It's connecting with hearts and minds of people to say, yes, I really like what this mob is doing. I really like what this business is doing, and I really want to work with them.
Beautiful. So how many team members you got on board with Cake, Kelly?
We have a database of over 160 contractors or collaborators, as we like to call them.
Yes.
Currently, we've got about 20 active collaborators at the moment across, I think, about 10 different client projects.
Spinning a few plates there, cooking up a storm, parting the punts.
Oh, look, Trevor, I love all these funds. They're great. Keep them coming.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's fantastic. But like I said, we do what we do for the sake of business, get passionate about it, what have you. But to be recognised as a finalist for such a big multi-million dollar company like Telstra, Best of Business Awards, it's good to get recognised and get knowledge. And that is another form of marketing as well. And look, if you win, great. If you don't win, great anyway. You know, you're a finalist. Mm. And it just helps promote who you are as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's really humbling to be recognised in this way. I mean, we obviously do hope to hear our name called at the National Winners Ceremony at the end of November, but to get to this point, as you say, is a really rewarding achievement to be recognised. And we really do hope that it serves as a springboard or a platform for Cake to continue to serve more families, more businesses, and create and strengthen the communities that we live in and we work in.
No, fantastic. Well, congratulations once again, Kelly. Kelly Pryor, good yarning with you, sister. All the best to your team and, of course, your daily counterparts there, the business people that you look after. And enjoy the journey and good luck coming at the end of September.
Oh, thank you so much, Trevor. Really appreciate it.
You take care, Kelly. Bye-bye.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
A deadly yarn there. Kelly Pryor, her name is, founder, owner, director of Cake, and the professional services they provide, network of over 160 schools, stay-at-home parents. So fantastic, an opportunity to support people operating their business from home. So you need that support, and there it is. That's what Cake does. And they're the finalists for Telstra Best of Business Awards, and we will find out who the winners are by the 26th of September at the end of this month. Fantastic. Have you seen Yana Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Yana with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trevor Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BBM Pumper Brief Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS. National Talk Black, too deadly, Bob.
Vamos, down. Ooh, no respect. That's what you get now.
Drew Bummer.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor. Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416. 98.7 FM. BBM.
Rangai, Naki, Rangova.
is over, then be green. My money lies under the sea. Si, qualca paleca.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, us BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, you mob, too deadly. All right, Indigenous Stage Show put spotlight on mental health to encourage more talk, greater connection. Look, with that, and catch up and have a yarn with the two actors. We have Lenny Donoghue and also Tibian Wiles, and they're creators of the play called Dear Brother, and got them both online. Very good morning, my brothers. How are you?
Good morning, my brother.
Too deadly. Thank you very much for coming to the program. We'll start with you, Lenny. Who your mob? Where are you from, Lenny?
My mob is from up in Kranda and Mariba. So I'm Jabuganji.
Yeah. Neighbours here, my brother. Here, you dingy man here in Cairns. And also Tibian Wiles. Who your mob? Where are you from, brother?
I'm a Warraga mate, Gidda mate, from just outside Ingham Ways there,
okay.
Caldwell Ways.
Too
and
dilly.
My side is Kalkadoon.
Kalkadoon connection there. Connection. All right, yeah, Murray from Recovery here. A connection both ways, my boys. Too deadly. Look, thank you very much. Congratulations. So world premiere of the play called Dear Brother. So give us a bit of background, who you two boys are, what do you do, are you dancers, are you actors, are you pole dancers, tell us your journey, your mob, what do you do, what do you guys do, to some of you, Lenny?
So my background comes from acting, but dancing has always been a big part of my background as well, just doing the cultural dancing, but also hip-hop and break dancing, just and Michael Jackson dance,
okay,
mimicking him as well.
Yes,
so it's always been a big part of movement base as well.
Yes.
Using my body to tell stories.
Fantastic. That's you, Lenny. What about you, Tibian? Tell us your journey. Who you are and what work have you done?
I'm same as Lenny. I'm an actor first and foremost.
Mm.
But I dance. I used to dance for a while there with Jukki Mala, also known as the Chukki dancers back
yes,
in the day.
Yes, my brother. Yes, too deadly.
Yeah. So my background's in. That's my background for acting and dance. I've been acting.
Deadly. Now you're the creators. Both of you are the creators of Dear Brother. Tell us the story about Dear Brother. It's a play on stage. What's the guts of the play, Dear Brother? Explain, please.
Yeah. So me and Lenny, we co-wrote this this show now, Dear Brother. Mm. Together, we wrote them together, and there's pretty much the synopsis of the show is it's pretty much me and Lenny's story. Coming from far north Queensland.
Yes.
Coming to the Brisbane, to the big city, to the big smoke, and wanting to further our performance and our goals, and our dreams of, being performers in the industry and then having to deal with the racism and the respect the city life and the fast tracks of how the city life is and then going through the hardships of different being away from family.
Exactly.
And missing birthdays and sometimes missing funerals and stuff like that. So
Well, you broaden your horizons in regard to you living your life. You're looking at the financial vehicle regarding a job or expanding your profession as such. But you're stepping away from country. And as you say, you're away from family, you're away from mob, you're away from land. But we have to do what we have to do. And comes with that is the mental strain. So as we talk about this play, Dear Brother, it helps with the mental health side of things for our brothers out there to reach out is what I'm picking up. Yep.
So pretty much, I think without us knowing it for me and Leonard, we wrote a play that not only is it reaching out to our brothers and us as our mob to help them find ways that they can heal themselves, but also I think it's a healing mechanism for ourselves, for myself and Leonard and everyone else who is a part of the show to kind of, because it is a story that all us mob know that it's it brings us back to our roots and makes us remember why we do what we do.
Yeah, beautiful. So when does the play? You had the launch last night, I believe.
Yes, we opened last night on the 12th.
And where are you performing the play? Where are you performing it?
At Queensland Theatre
in
South Brisbane at the Bill Brown Theatre. And we finish up on the 28th of September.
Okay. Well, you two being North Queenslanders, you need to bring that play up here. Don't be stuck up now.
That's the goal.
Fantastic.
That's the goal.
Congratulations. Yeah. So the launch went well last night?
Yes. Good. It was a beautiful night.
Yes. Good crowd?
Yeah, wonderful crowd.
Deadly. Well, there it is, my brother. And we are storytellers, whether we use song, dance, or even play. So you tell the story, my brother. And, look, congratulations to you both. And, look, love to see you mob up here in Cairns, Far North Queensland, where you mob from. But, look, dear brother, congratulations. Enjoy that journey. And thank you for the yarn, Lenny and Tibian. Thank you.
Thank you,
brother.
To you. Take care, bro. Bye.
Cheers.
Deadly Yarn there, Tibian Wiles and Lenny Donoghue, the creators of Dear Brother, now performing down there in Brisbane Festival. And did the launch last night and run until the end of September. So if you're ever in Brisbane, you're down there, football season's finished, you're going down to catch up with family, friends, whatever, go and drop in at the Brisbane Festival and see the deadly play called Dear Brother. with those two Deadly Brothers acting, and they are the creators and directors of that play. Fantastic. This is your Deadly Program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. And you are yarning with the host, the baldy one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, the host for your Deadly Program, National Talk Black.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training, our staff are on call, and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperin on 40801080 to learn more. Thinking about your body next to mine, butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember.
Hey love, it's Jessica Malvoy and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do. Walking frame blues, steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
My dancing days are over, but that's all right. I hardly ever stay up late at night.
No need to boogie and no need to waltz. Seems my legs have got some serious faults.
So I don't twist.
Getting there is what it's all about.
I got the walking frame blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
Got the walking frame blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
It's got four wheels of fire and a cushy seat. Just enough room for me and my feet.
We can do what did at the traffic lights.
We don't linger,
we don't pause,
we give it a go.
Just because
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
Got the walking train blues.
If I'm late, no hurry up to the pearly gates.
Me and Mr. Zimmer, we're the best of friends. Bosom buddies when the evening ends.
So it's early to bed and early to rise. Just getting round is an old man's prize.
Got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do. Walking frame blue, steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do. My dancing days are over, but that's all right. Never stay up late at night.
So I don't twist, I don't shout.
Just getting there is what it's all about.
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
Got the walking frame blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
With a red walking frame?
Yes, my girl. Goes faster than a blue one.
Can't we go now? If we leave now, we'll get there by dawn.
Steady, steady, my girl. We'll get there.
Steady, steady. Slowly, slowly. Oh.
Which way you feel?
Oh, I saw to it now. Can't we, Mother, sit down? Oh.
Got the walking frame blue. Steady, steady is the best I can.
Have you heard about the Territory Stolen Generations Redress Scheme?
It's for Stolen Generations survivors who were removed from their families or communities in the Northern Territory, ACT or Jervis Bay.
It's a financial and wellbeing package for acknowledgement and to help with healing.
The scheme's open for applications now.
To find out more about the Territory's Redress Scheme, call 1800 566 111
or visit territoriesredress.gov.au.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trevor Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News, National Radio Service. Have your say, Nyan up strong. All right, so now we're going to catch up a yarn now with Emily Aslan, a representative from Australia-wide First Aid, and which just a Saturday past, we had the world's first Aid Day. Just celebrated the day, and we're going to catch up with Jan with Emily to talk about the space. Emily, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Let's talk about this this fantastic day and this opportunity in regarding Australia-wide First Aid. Tell us about the hat that you wear and also explain who Australia-wide First Aid is.
Yeah, so Australia-wide First Aid, we're one of the leading first aid training providers.
Mm.
So we have, I think we're over 90 locations across Australia now. And we also do training with community groups and in, you know, larger companies. We go out to them. We do also do some rural training as well, where we fly a trainer out or we go through Zoom.
And majority of the training, Emily, would be CPR?
Yeah, so there's two or three technically different courses. So there's one that's just focused on CPR.
Mm.
There's one that's CPR and first aid. And then there's one that's CPR and first aid, as well as an extra section that's focusing on children and babies.
Yeah. And when you look at CPR, I mean, all organisation, non-Indigenous as well as Indigenous organisation, but then all industries, a lot of staff have been trained up with first aid and CPR as one of its tools that we use, and we've saved a lot of people, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely. It's literally the most life-saving skill you can possibly know.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And so let's talk about the World First Aid Day. This is first of its kind, is that right?
Yeah, so it's been in existence for probably close to 20 years now.
Yes.
But it's never really been celebrated in Australia. So we thought we'd take the helm and we'll try and get the word out there, yeah.
And that'll be the 14th of September every year from here on in?
No, the second Saturday of September.
Excuse me, second Saturday of September will be the World's First Aid Day.
Correct.
Good, yep. Fantastic. And how long have you been at the reins there with Australia-wide First Aid?
Yeah, so I've been with Australia-wide First Aid for about a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, I was a high school and then a primary school teacher for 10 years. So
now you're teaching people how to save lives.
Yeah. We had always done first aid through teaching. And then when I decided to leave teaching, like, oh, I want to take that, you know, take that skills and that knowledge and get it out there to an even wider audience. So, yeah.
And look, I said most companies do train their staff for CPR and first aid and what have you. And some of it is compulsory as such, which is a good tool to have, a good skill to have, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's something I say to people all the time is you can never rely on other people to be the saviour. Like, you need to have that knowledge and skills in yourself. So in a lot of workplaces, they'll have a, you know, a first aid officer. So that'll be the one person that's in charge of all the first aid stuff.
Sure.
But I think it's really, really important that, you know, each person has that skill set and that knowledge within themselves, because you don't know when that first aid person is going to be around or when they're not going
exactly.
to be around.
Exactly.
So to have those skills yourself is just so important.
Mm. And in the operations of most companies and organisations, they do have first aid drills. I mean, they do have like fire alarms and all that sort of stuff. They do the same thing with first aid too, don't they?
Not a lot of companies that we've seen actually do first aid drills, actually.
Okay.
They'll get their staff the training, but they don't seem to make a culture of safety and first aid in that sense within the corporation.
The fact that we just spoke about it, then there should be more of it, so you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope so.
Hello, you know? Because I know there's a lot of fire drills, even people live in buildings, skyscrapers, what have you. We need to practice all this sort of stuff in case when the situation does arrive, and hopefully it doesn't, but if it arrives, we're there, ready to go.
And in first aid, and particularly CPR, it's one of those things where you think you know what you're doing, but then if you're actually faced with the situation, to actually do it can be quite daunting. So that's why there's the recommendation to refresh your skills every 12 months with CPR.
Yes.
So that you actually get that hands-on practice every year, so that if you're ever faced with that situation, you actually can just jump in and do it. You're not, you know, trying to jump on your phone or ask someone else for help of what do I do?
Yes,
you can jump in and do it yourself,
Emily, with Australia-wide first aid, you said about 90-odd offices around the country, is that right?
Yeah, yep. And we do come out, like if you have a group of 10 or more people, we'll come to you and do the training at your site as well.
Okay, sure.
And if it's in a really rural or remote area where we can't get a trainer out there, then we do the training via Zoom.
Okay, there you go, technology.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Fantastic. Well, good sharing. Thank you so very much for sharing. Big shout out to your team. Keep doing what you're doing. New chapter from teaching to here we are, first aid. And like I said, you're teaching people how to save lives. So that's fantastic anyway. Really.
Yeah, it's the type of thing you hope you never need it, but exactly. When the time comes, you'd be so glad that you've got the skills and the knowledge there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you for sharing. All the best. You stay warm and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye, Emily.
Bye.
Dillian, Emily Aslin, her name is, representative for Australia-wide first aid. And look, talking about the space there and regarding CPR and looking after all Australians. I mean, CPR, fantastic tool and good skill sets to have on the resume, so to speak. But, yeah, saving people's lives. There's definitely need to talk about the World First Aid Organization, which is organizing acknowledgement of the second Saturday of every year in September, second Saturday in September. They will class it as World First Aid Day. So then it shines a light on that particular space and we can save lives in more ways than one. Yes. Your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly.